You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome to Thursday. We appreciate you being here. It is draft day, and we will certainly handle that in great detail as the afternoon wears on. But first, a few more headlines that you may have missed overnight. By now, you know, and you've heard the reaction. The biggest story of the day yesterday, Reggie Bush, and we'll talk to McGee about what else could change? How many other banners down could go up? We'll talk about it as the program wears on. Greg Sankey asked about the Super League yesterday. He brushed it off like a gnat on your sleeve on the 4th of July picnic. Don't bother me. I got bigger things to worry about. That's not what he said, but I'm sure that was the interpretation. What about the Army-Navy game? I know you were thinking about that when you woke up today. How that could impact the CFP, we'll find out. Oh, yeah. Chris Vanini covered it all, and covering the CFP these days, probably not as exciting as it used to be when everybody was fighting and fussing. But Chris, great to have you on. So you saw, you heard, and what was the takeaway? There are a couple of takeaways, I'm sure, but what stood out yesterday?
Yeah, an uneventful CFP meeting for the most part now that they have gone through the revenue sharing and all that stuff for 2026 and beyond. They did that about a month ago. This was the annual kind of recap, debrief. You bring in all the bowls, you bring in the teams that played in the playoff, and you kind of go through a lot of things. But there were a couple things that they kind of finalized, one of which is Army-Navy. The game will not impact the CFP selection committee. Selections will be made on that Sunday, and then Army-Navy will happen at the end of the week, and they will be unrelated. And it does come into play because, remember, the top Group of Five champion gets a spot in the 12-team playoff. That could be Army or Navy, who are both in the American Athletic Conference. So it does kind of impact things a bit, and it is a change from the current policy where actually under the 4-team model, they would have waited if Army or Navy was in the mix.
So, Chris, if I understand this correctly, let's say it's Navy at the moment of the game of the CFP is the highest ranked Group of Five. Would they get that bid regardless of the outcome of the game?
Correct. There is a very much a scenario where Army or Navy wins the American Championship that weekend. They make the playoff the next day as the top rated Group of Five team, and then they could lose to Army a week later, but still go on to the playoff. It's essentially an exhibition game in a lot of aspects now because it's not a conference game. They're both in the American, but it's a non-conference game after the championship, and it also doesn't impact the playoff either. So, yeah, there is a scenario where you could lose that game and still go to the playoff.
And I'm sure some general or admiral watching this right now going, yeah, try to convince everybody on my side that it's just an exhibition game. Well, let's talk about some other things that happened yesterday. And the talk of the Super League, it's been floating through media reports for a couple of weeks. It seemed like a well-intentioned opportunity for a few fat cats to get in a room and come up with an alternative plan, but the people that really matter were not buying, were they?
Yeah, no, I know The Athletic, I think, first reported a couple of weeks ago about this proposal that was out there. Most conferences did not want to meet with the group and did not kind of take them up on the offer. And then eventually a lot of the details came out. Greg Sankey confirmed, as we expected yesterday, that he has no real interest in that, nor real interest in private equity, which is kind of circling around college sports right now. You know, he made sure to point out, like, look at the TV ratings for college football, women's college basketball, all these things. For everybody saying college sports is a mess right now, it's actually doing pretty well. Was largely his view. And so, no, that Super League plan was never really going to happen. But I will say, it's possible that plan may look better in hindsight than where we end up with the way things are going with conference realignment and all that. If we go off to a power two and they break away, do their own thing, we may be looking back at that 80 team model and be like, hey, that might have been better for the collective whole.
Did I mistake Greg Sankey mirroring Jim Cramer yesterday and offering a stock tip to buy college football?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I would buy stock in college football and college sports right now for the reasons that I mentioned. I mean, the women's game, the women's basketball game, having astronomical ratings, beating the men, football ratings being what they are, volleyball getting bigger. There's a lot of stuff going on in college sports that is doing well, but it's just a lot of the headlines of transfers and lawsuits and Congress that seem to kind of pull down the vibe a bit.
Gosh, that would be, wouldn't that be exciting if every afternoon here at 4 o'clock we gave the latest stock report? You know, Texas is up $1.25, Auburn down $3.15. Beyond all this, and you mentioned this is the time of the year for meetings. From now until June, there will be one after another, conference meetings, you name it. What did you glean from yesterday as you look ahead to the month of May? What are the topics going to be the same? Because the CFP model, that has pretty well been established other than some particulars. What else is on the mind of college administrators right now?
Yeah, I'm not expecting much CFP news for a while. I know there's talk, will it expand to 14? Could there be automatic qualifiers? I don't think we're coming to a decision on that anytime soon. Stuff that is going to be talked about among administrators is some potential rule changes that are coming up. There's a possibility of allowing essentially unlimited coaches. That's up next month. And then there's the various lawsuits in the settlements. There's the House case, which is a major, major case, which could cost every school upwards of $10 or $20 million to settle. It could create revenue sharing. It's possible before football season that could come to a settlement. Maybe it goes to the end of the year. That's one of the bigger cases that the NCAA probably doesn't want to go to trial. And so we may get a settlement. There's a couple others as well. But you talk about covering stock market every day for college football. It feels like I'm covering a different lawsuit every day, including one that involved the Florida Attorney General and the ACC. So these things continue. I'm sure we'll get many more of those in the coming months.
And finally, speaking of all that, you just referenced the ACC. Jim Phillips there, of course, a big role in the CFP. Did he offer anything on the chaos that is now his conference?
He will not speak to anything on the lawsuits. He's deferred comment to the conference office on that. But we kind of asked him about that, just kind of how do you feel about things, especially coming off the playoff, you know, where the ACC is going to be getting less money than the SEC and Big Ten beginning in 2026. And he would only pretty much say it's an exciting time to be in the ACC. We're really excited about the future. We're really focused on the 12-team playoff this year.
Considering the chaos in the ACC, that's probably not a bad thing for Commissioner Phillips to say, as opposed to the truth. Chris, very, very appreciative of your time. You always spit out the truth, and we appreciate it. Thanks very much. Chris Fanini joining us on yesterday's CFP meetings. We will take a short break. We have a lot to do as we help you get ready for the draft in 5 hours. We'll have some analysts on later on to give you the breakdowns. And, of course, your phone calls right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Come back. Plenty of time for you to call in and we'll get your reaction on what we've heard so far and a look ahead to the draft tonight. We start with Jay in South Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Hope you're doing well.
We are. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I don't sit so high as I can judge another man, and I won't. But I can make an observation. There's this guy that calls in, and he likes to call people hypocrites, and he also calls people fools.
Yeah.
Now, this is a Christian guy. Yes, sir. Anyway, in my Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, I'll paraphrase that it speaks that a man that calls another man a fool is in danger of hell fire. I just wanted to kind of point that out, you know, that that's really kind of hypocritical in and of itself, wouldn't you say?
Well, I'm not going to try to be a judge here, but I do think I understand what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to make that point. And War Eagle, buddy. Have a great day.
War. That's the most important thing you said, War Eagle. Matt is up next.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? Look, I'm interested in the draft. How many players do you think, I mean, from Texas A&M are going to be get drafted this year? And I heard we lost a player in the transfer portal to Auburn, big-time wide receiver from Penn State.
That is correct.
I'm not – I was a little mad, but still be some players in the portal we can get from the wide receivers. That's it. I'm still liking Mike Elko, what he's doing, the transfer portal to boost our roster, the players we lost. I still think it's going to be a good year. What he's trying to do, I still believe we're going to go 9-3 or 10-2. And I just want to know, like, how many players think he's going to get drafted tonight, like A&M football program? I'm thinking like three. What about you, Paul?
I think you're probably right, Matt. We'll have a couple experts later. We'll ask them to break that down. Braxton is up next in Knoxville.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
How are you?
Braxton, we're doing great. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, this is my first time calling. I was just going to ask you about two things here. Number one, what do you think about Tennessee's chances next year?
I feel pretty good about that. We had a guest on yesterday who feels like they're knocking on the door of making a run at the playoff. I think their schedule's manageable. I like the Alabama game at home. I think that's a really big one. I don't think they have anything. I mean, the Oklahoma game early on will be pressurized. But I think 9-10 wins. Maybe I think 10's the key number right now to get to 10 to be in the playoff contention.
I agree. Also, what do you think about our new quarterback? I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Nico.
Yeah, Nico is a good way of. We'll do a phonetic tutorial at some point down the road on that. But thank you very much for the call. I think he's going to be a fantastic quarterback based on what I've already seen in the bowl game and what everyone tells me. Jim is next.
I guess it's another opportunity to do another Bible study or Bible lesson, Paul, because I know the scripture. The man got it wrong. He's an ignoramus about the Bible. Did you know that God said in the Word, it said, my people, and that man's not his people, I don't think, but he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That man's completely wrong, completely erroneous. Here's what the scripture says regarding the fool statement. The scripture says, if a Christian calls another Christian, not a man, another Christian a fool, he's in danger of hellfire. That's what it says. That man made a completely erroneous statement saying the Bible says if a man calls another man a fool. Well, I mean, there's many fools that are not Christians, Paul, and that's what God stated it correctly that way. Do you see the point?
No, I do. I mean, I think there's some interpretation for those who aren't biblical scholars in terms of.
There's no way to understand. There's only one way to interpret what God said when he said, if a Christian calls another Christian a fool, he's in danger.
So my question back to you is, if you called this guy a fool and he's not a Christian, is that okay?
That's no sin, Paul. Did you know that Jesus called fools fools? Fools are fools that don't believe in God, that don't follow God. You got a ton of them on this show. I mean, really, that are not Christian. I'm not called.
This is a tricky question, but how do you know who is really a believer and who isn't?
By the fruits they bear.
Okay.
I mean, for example, you would think, you know, the Pharisees pretended to be godly. They would go around with all the stuff on and the robes like the Catholics, right, wear the robes, and that doesn't mean you're. Do you think that means you're a Christian?
Right.
No, it doesn't.
So, I mean, this guy was. He was acting like he wasn't, but he was judging you, correct?
Exactly, he was judging me.
Of course, he was.
That's what's wrong with this thing. They will be judged. That falsely judging. God said, "You judge not, lest ye be judged." That's why he said it, because there's so many that are absolutely wrong about the judgments they make.
Right.
In regard to me, they are, I promise you.
Well, I'm glad you called. He was trying to get me to agree with him, and I couldn't do that.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because you would have been wrong if you did.
Yeah, no, I felt like I was doing what he was accusing others of doing. Had I agreed with him.
Say that again.
I think he wanted affirmation from me, but the moment
they
I
all,
affirmed...
Have you not noticed concerning me and this stuff, they all want you to agree with them. You know that. That way, when you agree with them, they say, oh, well, Jim's wrong. He was wrong. Wisely, you're not doing that. So at least you're doing that good part good.
Let me ask you this, because you're certainly a scholar, and I'm the talk show host, but are you stating that you are not judging people? Is that correct?
I don't think I'm judging somebody when I correct a wrong statement.
Right. Okay. It's okay to correct them as long as they're not a Christian. Is that right?
No, that's got nothing to do with this,
okay.
Paul. I'm not calling anybody a fool except a fool. That's all I'm saying.
So Jesus didn't say you would go to hell. What you're saying,
you know a fool
when you see one.
Well, I mean, you can tell by the way they act.
Okay.
That guy, I'm not going to say he was a fool, but he was wrong. He was wrong to say what he said. But there are fools that you can know are fools.
To me, it sounded like he was trying to backdoor a judgment on you.
You know the game.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he was trying to do. It's a wicked way that the devil tries to pin something on someone. They're doing that to Trump every day, Paul.
Yeah.
I promise you, they're doing that to Trump. And I think, and I believe, I talk to some dynamic Christians, far better Christians than I am.
Yeah.
I'm not a really good Christian, but God said he would work on me to get me where I should be. That's what he does to his people, and I'm one of his people, I know that. But they're doing that to Trump every day, Paul. And they will be judged. And I've got a dynamic Christian friend who's far better Christian than me, and he says he believes without a doubt Trump's coming back in because God's going to put him back in there. And God put Trump in the first time. He didn't win that election by himself. God did miracles to get that first election because they didn't want him in. You know that.
Sure. No. Jim, listen, thank you very much. It was good to hear from you.
Thank you for letting me correct the man.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. We do not want false prophets on this show. Let's check in with, I don't even know what, Aubrey. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
Hey, Paul, do you think, had it been 10 years ago or today, Reggie Bush would have been at SEC school?
Do I think 10 years ago, would Reggie Bush be at an SEC school? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, if Reggie came out today and played.
Yes, sir.
Pretty apparent he wanted to go to SC.
Okay. Do you think Michigan should have their brothers back from the Fab Five era?
No, I don't. That's a really interesting question, and we're going to talk to a guest later about that. I don't think this is like opening the floodgates to everyone who has a claim. This was a specific situation, Mike. This had nothing to do with the NCAA. This was with the Heisman Trust that operates the Heisman Trophy. They followed the lead of the NCAA, and I don't think anyone else is going to get anything back. And quite frankly, what the Fab Five did 25 or 30 years ago is ancient history. Thank you for the call. We head to the break. More to come on our program, more guests, a lot to do on a very busy Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back. Let's get to the calls immediately. And Chris starts it off from South Carolina. Hello, Chris.
The eyes of the ranger are upon you. Hey, Paul, good call by Jim. That's the Walker Texas Ranger theme song. That was Chuck Norris. Now, here comes Trevette. Man, he made a good call today, Paul. He didn't get upset. He kept us cool. He didn't call him out a buffoon. He did awesome. Great job, Jim. That's what we need to start doing, man. Just praise him when he makes good call and quit trying to attack him all the time. But that's enough said about that. But I see your show lined up, man. You got my buddy Ryan McGee coming on, Paul. Just remind him what I told him. Don't talk too much. You control the interview, Paul. Give him some pointers so when he fills in, he won't tie the show up, Paul. But other than that, how's your day going, Paul?
It is going great. I appreciate you asking.
Man, that's all right. But Matt talking about how many Texas A&M players are going to get drafted? Probably none. but I mean, they're going to be all right, man. I mean, but I tell you what, I'm signing off. I had a call in earlier. I got a meeting later, Paul. But before I go, just remember, I'm the real Tiger of the Paul Feinbaum Show. You have an awesome day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Eric is in Texas, so you're on the air. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Things are great.
Yes. The SEC was already the most dominant conference in college football. Now they had Texas and Oklahoma, two of the most storied programs in the history of college football. And 12-team college football playoff, they could easily get six, maybe seven college playoff teams.
I think
pretty soon it's going to probably be the SEC. It's probably going to have to be renamed to the SEC Invitational.
I'm in awe of your enthusiasm, even when you're completely wrong. Thanks for the call. Greg is up next. Hey, Greg, you're on the air. Hello. Didn't hear Greg, so I'll try Roger in Indiana. Hey, Roger.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I'm calling. I live 15 miles away from Notre Dame, and I have to respond to that guy that called in the other day.
Okay.
First off, on Saturday mornings on Notre Dame game day, I enjoy going to Cracker Barrel wearing my Alabama apparel. That really makes those people upset. But anyway, the thing that bothers me about Notre Dame is the fact that they don't have to play a conference championship game. And the SEC, you could possibly have the number one and number two team in the country having to play each other just to make the playoffs. So I don't understand how.
Well, but Roger, you are correct about that, but that's one reason why Notre Dame is precluded from a first round bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be different this year. I understand that. But I'm talking about the format that we've had. They could easily be ranked number five, or Alabama could be playing number one Georgia and ranked number three. They lose or out. You know what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, well, Notre Dame made that decision, Roger, and they're stuck with it. I think it is, it's their problem. They ought to get in a conference. Could be an outlier. How about Cajun up next? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Okay, Cajun.
Hey, listen, your influence, it spans a broad spectrum of demographics, doesn't it? Like different fan bases, different geographical locations, of course, ideologies and beliefs. But I think one of the most impressive metrics is the disparity in age in some of your callers. I'm assuming, is Dominic the youngest caller that calls in?
Yeah, he just turned 13. We've had younger callers, but he's probably the youngest regular caller.
Paul, who would be the oldest? Do you know who the oldest caller is?
We had a man from Louisiana a couple of months ago or years ago. He was in his mid-90s call, but he would easily qualify.
No, we got
a guy from Tuscaloosa who's 95, Eddie. So we're not quite at 100, but we're close.
When you said 95 in Tuscaloosa, I thought you were talking about Jim. But I just thought that was pretty interesting, that the young guys that are calling in, and then, of course, your seasoned vets that call in. So just thought that was a cool fact, Paul.
Thank you very much. And I'm really glad you pointed that out, because that's something that we are very proud of here. We know that the older demographics have been with us, and we appreciate that. But the young people that call in really offset the dynamics of the show. Expired is up next.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
Expired.
Hey, you want to hear how Chris from South Carolina's Tiger roars? I can do it for you. You ready?
I am.
All right. All right, here we go. Chris from South Carolina is the real tiger, he says. This is his roar. Meow. 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 Paul, I'm going to tell you right now, Paul. Clemson Tigers, you stink. Your coach stinks. Your rock stinks. Your football team stinks. You can't figure out the portal. I mean, you're dumb because you can't figure out the portal. I'm tired of hearing the crap about the Clemson Tigers, okay? You're not the real Tigers. I don't like LSU, but those guys are pretty dang good every year and everything. You know, I'll go for the LSU Tigers before I go for the Clemson Tigers. But, Paul, I wanted to talk about the draft. For the Aggies, I think y'all are trying to make a little bit of fun on them, okay? Edrin Cooper will probably go in the top 50 draft picks. Anaya Smith will be a steal in about the fifth or sixth round. He's had a lot of injuries, and that's his big knock. And then Layton Robinson will go. We're only got three of them this year, down here, but that's what happens when you're not very good, Paul. But it's coming, baby. It's coming. Hey, do you sit down, Paul, and watch the draft, or do you not really care about it?
I pay attention to it. I was at the draft 2 years ago, and I mean, it's fairly overwhelming to be there. But you know, I think it can get tiresome after a couple of hours.
What is Paul like? If you sit there, Paul, do you eat anything like some pretzels or you know, drink you a drink and eat some chicken wings?
Yeah, I might have a normal meal, whatever that. Well, maybe not a normal meal for you, but I'm not like at a draft party. I mean, I have it on and I'm keeping up with it, but as you well know, it doesn't move very quickly.
Exactly. Tonight I'm having a shrimp boil for me and my wife, Mrs. Expired, that you met, and we're just gonna sit there on the back porch and sip on some Buffalo Trace and watch the draft, man.
I'm one of the few people on this program. I may be the only person. I have met Mrs. Expired. Very nice lady.
Yes, you have met her, and she's a great lady, and she loves her some
It was a big treat. When we were in College Station a couple of months ago, I think it was like right in the middle of the show. I walked over off the set once I spotted Mr. and Mrs. Expired and had a nice chat with them.
Yeah, see, that was very good of you, Paul. I really thank you for that. And hopefully this year when we go to Auburn, y'all will be there and you could see me and AJ together.
That will not last long. Expired, thank you. You and the missus have a great night tonight watching the... Are you having a draft party?
No,
didn't think so. Swamp Dog, I'm sure, is down in Georgia. What do you got, Swamp?
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing?
Very well.
Great to talk to you again. Yeah, I got a question about the draft. I'm not having a party or anything, but I've been watching, trying to keep up with some of this stuff. Seems like everybody... Yeah, they talk about quarterbacks. There might be five in the first round, maybe six. I want to talk about Brock Bowers. Where do you think that he's going to wind up? I hear something about the New York Jets. Is he going to be a first round?
I think I've seen Brock projected in the first 10 picks. Now, that sounds like he has fallen, but as somebody pointed out the other day, When you start with three quarterbacks, that's really the draft begins at number four. So he is essentially, outside of the three quarterbacks, one of the top five or six players. I would take him higher than that, frankly. But it's all about need.
Yeah.
To me, he's that player that can literally turn a team around.
He's a game changer, is what he is. He always was at Georgia, and I think any NFL team would be glad to have him. He's like Kelsey, you know.
You know, he had last year, I think it was against Vanderbilt, I think was that was the most important moment of the year, because I think a healthy Brock Bauer would have led Georgia to an SEC championship game win and perhaps very likely a national championship. Let's take a break. More to come, more phone calls coming in, more guests down around the corner, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back, and back to the calls we go, and Roger is up next in Georgia. Hey, Roger.
Paul, how you doing?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
I know your oldest caller.
Who's that?
His name was Cecil Duffy, and he lived here in Carrollton, Georgia, and he was a fraternity brother at Alabama with John Forney.
Oh, my goodness. I do remember hearing talking to him.
Yeah, he was a delightful old gentleman.
How old was Cecil when he passed away?
Well, he was either 98 or 99.
Okay.
When he called you, he was 98.
No, I remember Cecil.
And we had we goaded him into calling you, and he called we had a crowd there at his house when he called. He called you twice. But he was a very nice old gentleman, and he was a Lord of Mercy. His house was full of Alabama memorabilia.
Well,
he
that
was
is
very,
great.
Very good friends with Pat Dye. In fact, he started that development on Lake Martin. I can't think of the name of it.
Who, Cecil?
Yes, Cecil. fact, it went bankrupt.
Oh, it's not there anymore?
No, it's a housing development resort.
Stillwater's?
Lake Martin.
Yeah, in fact, I was down there not long ago. That place is anything but bankrupt. That place is on fire.
Yeah, well, Cecil had some financial problems, and he moved to Carrollton when he was 65 years old and started selling cars. And he stayed in Carrollton from when he was 65 to 98, and he was the number one salesman for the Cadillac Buick place here.
Well, I distinctly remember that conversation, and I remember when Cecil passed away. Well, listen, Roger, thank you for reminding us, and you be well. You take care of yourself. Brad is up next in Macon. Hello, Brad.
Hey, brother. How you making it today?
You're doing great.
Yes, sir. I want to talk to Paul about some contract law with NFL contracts, the players, and also got a cool little quickie about Chuck Norris.
I can't wait to hear that.
This is Paul Feinbaum right here. This is Paul.
Yeah, no, you got the, Randy, did you accidentally take that phone call before I got to the phone? Yeah. Yeah, you were, that was Randy you were talking to.
Oh, okay, so I'm on the air or no?
You are. Would you rather not be?
Oh, geez, Paul.
We can you off the air if you don't want to be on.
No, it just happened so quick. I don't know what happened, but anyway, yeah, Chuck Norris, I told you about my uncle teaching Bob Barker how to putt and for the Price is Right. Well, anyway, quick, long story short, he was in a speech class because he would stammer around big, large crowds when he had to give speeches because he was the president of the California Southern Section of the PGA, and his buddy in the class was actually Chuck Norris.
Well, that is an amazing story. Well, Brad, thanks for sharing that. Let's continue with Justin, also in Georgia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Hey there.
I want to say a shout-out to my friend Jason from Thomaston, and I got a question. Why do people boo the commissioner of the NFL at the draft?
I just think that's a something that started years ago. I don't know why. I have no earthly idea what the point of it is, but it happens. And in fact, I think Goodell was at an NFL stadium last fall and was introduced and was booed there too. Fans are, again, the crowd you get at an NFL draft is not exactly the soberest crowd you'll find. I mean, they're pretty juiced up.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Never been asked that question before. Teresa is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Teresa.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for answering my call.
Thank you.
I waited for a while. But for several days. But I want to ask a question about yesterday they had the top quarterbacks for the SEC. And, you know, of course, it was the normal list that you hear a lot. And I wonder, is this an indication of how these teams will be rated this year or ranked?
Certainly the quarterback position is the most important in football, but it is not necessarily an indicator. In fact, we saw one yesterday. I think it was Conor O'Gara. He had Georgia ranked number three as a quarterback room, even though they have the best quarterback. And they will be ranked, they'll be the favorite to win the SEC. So I don't think there's always a direct correlation when you're ranking a quarterback room, which means who do you have behind the starting quarterback and the starting quarterback. Daryl is up next in Baton Rouge. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. How you doing
today,
there,
buddy.
Man? Hey, I got a couple quick questions. In your opinion, where do you think Jaden Daniels is going in the draft tonight?
Well, it's not merely the opinion. It's the opinion of almost everyone that he's going to the Commanders at number two.
Do you think his style of play transitions into that type of offense?
Well, if they're smart, they better make their style of play fit into his.
Yeah, but I hope so. I hope so, Paul. I really
because,
do.
I mean, it is beyond insanity to force a quarterback to fit your bill, and I think they'll be smart enough to make it work. Hey, thank you for the call. Cornbread in Ohio is up next.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you doing today?
You're doing great. Thank you.
I'm not going to ask you the same question though Daryl asked you. That's my second home, Baton Rouge. But I just wanted to say hi, and my daughter wanted to say hi to you.
Let's have her on.
Say hi. They're being silly.
How old is your daughter, Cornbread?
My daughter's five. Her name is Theory. My other daughter's Jackson. You want to say hi, Jackson?
Well, your two daughters.
Hi, Mr. Paul.
Hey there. You two have become the youngest callers in the history of the show. Congratulations.
Thank you much, Paul. You have a great day today, and look forward to hearing what you got to say about the draft tomorrow.
Cornbread, thank you very much. We talked about a 97-year-old caller a minute ago. Now we have, how was it, five? Five-year-old caller? Yeah. Our median age is slipping into the 80s right now. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.